I tremble at the thought that I had not asked Christ to be my Savior. And if you're listening live, you're here in this chapel and you have the talk, but you don't have the walk. I tremble because demons do. They tremble because they know that the Word of God is true.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the New Testament epistle of James with a conclusion to the message, What is Real Faith? Now, Pastor Bill.
Calvin put it this way, Indeed, in truth, it is a great thing to sink down below the demons. That's a terrible thing. Boy, it says demons believe and they do something. At least they do something. They tremble. I mean, at least they have, it's not a good work, but it's a work, isn't it? I mean, they tremble at God's word. And we have to ask ourselves, are we trembling at God's word? Not the same word, but not like they are, but do we tremble at God's word? Because the Bible says this, Isaiah 66:2, God says this, unto this one will I look. This is the person that captures my gaze, he who trembles at my word. And say, oh gosh, this is true. Every word of God is true. He says it again in Isaiah 66:5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Demonic faith is nothing more than intellectual faith. It's just a bunch of knowledge, but it never does a thing. It never will produce Christ's likeness, never. Look at verse 20. But do you know, but do you want to know, or are you willing to know, literally, O foolish man or senseless man, that faith without works is what? Is dead. It's, you know, listen, a profession of faith, Jesus, you're my Lord, be my Lord, that's just the beginning. That's not the end, loved one. Faith that lacks works, he just said, is dead. See, genuine faith, real faith, always produce something in your life, an action. You're obedient to it. Now, can a person's faith, can God just be in a person's mouth and not in his heart? Okay, let me give you the scripture. 1 John 2:3. Now by this, John writes, meaning the new birth, by the new birth, by this, we know that we know him. There's only one way to know God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? The new birth. But after you are born again, there is a result of the new birth. Let me read it again. By this, we know that we know him if we keep or do his commandments. Here it comes. He who says, the religion of the tongue, he who says, I know him, I have a deep intimacy relationship with him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. They're lost. Dead faith, demonic faith, religion cannot save anyone. Do you understand? Christianity is a person, not a religion. Christianity is Christ. Amen? Yep, so important. Now we move from the dead faith to the demonic faith, and let's look at real faith or dynamic faith, okay? And we're going to look at two people. James is going to give us an example of real faith and what it does. Abraham, of course, the father of the Jewish people, and then Rahab the harlot. She's a Gentile. She's an enemy of God. It says in a moment that Abraham is a friend of God. Now let's begin in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father? What's that next word? Justified by works. When? When did that happen? Well, when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. Now, you know that story, Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to go back and read all of that because time won't permit us. But did it take great faith to do what he did? Oh, my gosh, come on. It certainly did. But here's what I want you to get, because here's where the confusion comes in. I wanted to first off tell you what James is not saying, what he's not saying. He's not saying from that verse I read to you that Abraham was saved by faith plus works. Look at it again. It says that Abraham was justified. Well, that's a very important word. He was justified by works. But listen, no one has ever been saved by works, okay? And when James is speaking of works here, he's not like Paul. Paul was talking about the works of the law. This is not what James is saying here at all. Now, you say, Bill, how do you know that? Prove it to me. Well, let me give you the scripture. Romans 4:1. What shall we say, Paul says, about Abraham, our father, that he's found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified, if he was saved, if he was declared righteous by God by works, well, he has something to brag about, but not before God. Why? Because no one has ever been saved by works. Amen? Are y'all with me? There are denominations that teach that. Faith, yes, but you have to have a work. You know, they say faith, but you've got to be baptized. Well, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. See, that's a work I can do. You get saved, then you get baptized. Amen? Amen. So it's not faith plus baptism. It doesn't work that way. Now, this is just very important. So what are we doing here? James is not like Paul here, okay? James is not speaking of salvation, how to be saved, what happens at salvation. He's speaking about the result of being saved. James is not speaking here about justification like Paul. Remember, Paul's justification, and matter of fact, two different words actually in the Greek, okay? Paul's justification was this. Whenever a believing sinner says, Jesus, I trust you. I know you're real. Be the Lord of my life. Come, save me. What happens in heaven? Well, he's justified. Justified, never sinned. In other words, God is a judicial decision by God where God says, the believing sinner is now declared innocent. He is declared in right standing with me, and I impute over into his account, it's called imputation, the spotless, sinless life of Jesus Christ into that person's account. So when God sees you, he sees you in Christ and in your position, he sees you perfect. That's not your practice, but that he sees you that way. Okay, James is not talking about that kind of justification. Justification, that word justified is a different word in the Greek. It's close to the justification by faith, but it's different. Justified by works means this, that Abraham, who was already saved, okay, he shown or proved himself to be righteous. Why? By faith he obeyed God. He offered Isaac up. It was a work. Now, listen, let's prove this. When and how was Abraham justified? In other words, declared saved. When was he declared righteous before God? It couldn't be when he offered Isaac up on Mount Moriah. Amen? It couldn't be. That's Genesis 22. When was Abraham declared righteous before God? Genesis 15. How many years between 15 and 22? Over 40 years, okay? So we know that when he says here that Abraham was justified by works, meaning that's not talking about being declared righteous in the eyes of God. We have to make sure we understand that. Are you going to say, I have to have this work to be saved? Okay, now, let me give you the scripture. We have to go all the way back to Genesis 15, 40 years earlier. Abraham was 85 years old. He had no children. They were barren, okay? And he says this, God comes to make covenant with him in Genesis 15, 4. And behold, God says, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Remember, he wanted his servant to be the heir, okay? He says, no, the one that's going to come from your body, that's going to be your heir. He was childless, didn't have any kids. And then God brought Abraham outside and said, look now toward the heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And God said to Abraham, so shall your descendants be. And what did Abraham do? He believed the Lord. And then it says, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, that moment, God declared him saved, just like we get saved. In other words, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him, God made him, meaning Jesus, sin, who knew no sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Okay, very, very important. So how was Abraham saved? Well, he wasn't saved because he offered Isaac upon Mount Moriah. That wasn't it. He was justified there by his work. People say, well, Bill, you know, Abraham, he was saved by keeping the law of Moses. Well, the law of Moses, loved one, wasn't given for another 400 years. Nobody knew about Moses. Do you understand? And some people say, okay, well, then he had to do a work to be saved. What work was it? Well, Genesis 17, he was circumcised. Really? That's how he saved? He was 99 years old when he had already been saved. Does that make sense? Okay, so that wasn't what happened at all. So how was Abraham saved? He is saved. Everybody in the Bible is saved the same way. You just believe. That's all you can do. And then if you believe, you'll be saved. Amen? That's exactly what Paul told the jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He didn't say, and get baptized and give $1,000 too. No, he didn't say that, did he? No, loved one, listen. No, he simply believed. Drop down to verse 23. We're going to cover this verse twice, but drop down to verse 23. And scripture was fulfilled, which says, now I just read you that scripture, Genesis 15, 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, that's the great doctrine of justification by faith. He just simply believed, and that's how you became a Christian as well. So no one is saved by works. And listen to me now. Yes, we have works, but you always need to remember that works do not add one thing to your standing, meaning to your righteousness. Do you understand? You don't need to add one thing to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's not one work. Why do we do our works then? You work because you love the Lord. You want to do what he wants you to do. You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ. And God is now working in you to do and fulfill his good will. Amen? Now, look at verse 22. So, do you see that faith was working together with Abraham, with his works, and by works, faith was made what? That means finished, completed, if you will. It means he was matured, okay? Brought to completion, fulfillment. So without faith and without works, Abraham, would he have offered Isaac? No. Hebrews 11, 17, that test of faith. It says by faith that he offered Isaac, okay? And he believed that God could raise him from the dead, right? That's exactly what happened. Now, listen very carefully. Faith always is proved by action. Hebrews 10:38, Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Okay, now, I remember Pastor Chuck one time. Matter of fact, I wrote it down. I have it right there in front of me that he said this. Chuck said, it's impossible to believe in Jesus Christ and do nothing. That's a true word. When you're born again, remember what I told you a couple of weeks ago? There I was on that beach, and I got saved right there. And remember, I had that beer cooler in the car, my truck, you know, and a pack of cigarettes still in my pocket, and I pick up that hitchhiker. I mean, I wasn't even saved an hour, and I start sharing Christ with him. And he heard that beer, you know, and I was smoking, and he says, would you let me out the corner up here? And he got out. He really did. But I didn't know. I was saved. I just got saved. I wasn't Paul, the apostle. But I got cleaned up, and you got cleaned up. Yeah. Listen, look at verse 23 again. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, there's Genesis 15:6 again. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was declared righteous, and he was called the friend of God. So you see that a man is justified. There's that word. In other words, shown or proved himself to be righteous. How? By works. He obeyed the Lord and not by faith only. Now listen, a friend of God is not someone who only just talks about Jesus. A friend of God talks about Jesus, but he also walks with Jesus. Remember what John told us in 1 John, 2:6. He says, if you say, there's that word again, the profession. Yeah, I'm a believer. Okay, if you say that you abide in him, if you abide in Jesus, if Jesus lives in you and you in him, okay, you draw strength from him. If you abide in him, then you ought to walk even as he walked. Amen? So listen, that's a very wonderful thing. That's a precious title, friend of God. But it's only reserved for those who obey the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, 14. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. And I'll tell you something about Jesus. He's the best friend you could ever have. Matter of fact, he's a perfect friend because he is perfect. He is faultless. Everything he does is right. I mean, I need friends like that. Amen? But he's the only one that does. No one, we should sing that song right now, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? Boy, that's a true word. Now look, let's go to the next example of true faith. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified, and we know that word there means shown or proved herself by works when she received the messengers or the spies and sent them out another way. Now, you know the story there in Joshua chapter 2. Children of Israel, they are going to cross the Jordan, and Jericho is on the other side. And so what does Joshua do? He sends two Jewish spies into the land secretly to spy out the land. And so they came to the door of an innkeeper, and she was actually a prostitute who had an inn on the wall of Jericho there. And so they go there, and then the king finds out of Jericho that these guys are in town. So he sends soldiers to Rahab's home and so forth, the inn there, and says, where are they? He said, they went out this way. I don't know. And so she had hid the spies, right? Remember? Yes, she hid the spies. Let me give you the scripture there. It says in Joshua 2:8, now before the spies, before they lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us and all the inhabitants of the land. Oh, we're faint-hearted because of you, for we've heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and all the kings and the slaughter of the kings and so forth. He says, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, and neither did remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, and God above and on the earth beneath. Listen, that is when Rahab, she turned to God. Amen? She became a believer. Listen, when you read the story about her, listen, it's not her sin, her immoral life is magnified. It is her faith in what she did in God. She turned to the Lord. She was the only person in all of Jericho that turned to the Lord, and she was the only person in all of Jericho that believed that God had truly given all of the land to the children of Israel. Amen? That's what you call faith. Does God reward faith? Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Boy, listen, Rahab, did she receive a reward? Man, I mean, she trusted in God. She became the mother of Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, and from there came Jesse, all the rest, to King David, right? Now, did you know, Matthew 1:5, Rahab is even in the genealogy, the ancestry of Christ Jesus our Lord? Man, what kind of reward is that? Now, listen, she proved her faith by her work. One more scripture, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, meaning professing faith, just saying it. I'm a Christian. I never do anything. So faith without works is dead also. For as the body without the spirit is dead. If you are a Christian, that right there means this: we live in a body, we're born from above. This body, Paul calls it our earthly tent, amen? A tent is temporary. You don't live in a tent all of your life. We have a home in the heavens that God has made for us, okay? And so the moment of death, to be absent from the body, this body here, is to be immediately present with the Lord, amen? The body is dead. I mean, it's dead. This body will not go to heaven. I'm going to get a brand new body, resurrected by, just like all of you. Amen? Well, it's going to be a glorious day. But so what is he saying? He says, faith without action. If all you have is just words. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I have a Bible, but I never read it. I never do anything. He says, faith without action is dead as a human body without a spirit. Man, that is an incredible contrast, isn't it? Man, dear Lord. See, because a body cannot be alive without the Spirit. The Spirit goes home. Man, so profession of faith is dead unless the faith is real. So he's saying here, faith without works is like a dead body at a funeral home or a dead body at a morgue. Let me ask you a question. When someone dies, do they do anything? Do they talk? Do they pray? They're dead. Do you understand? Their spirit has gone. Every person on earth has their spirit. And that spirit one day is going, when we die, it either goes to heaven or go someplace else. And you know where that is. No, so we look at that. There's no life in a dead body or any of those things. But what's tragic here is that James has to picture faith without works. And he says, as something that's dead. What do you do when people pass? You have a funeral. You put them in a coffin and you bury them. He's saying if you don't have faith, if it's just profession only, he says you might as well just go out and put it in a coffin and put it in the ground. You know, listen, I've done a lot of funerals in my ministry, okay? And sometimes when we have and I mean no disrespect about this, but it's just a true word. It's a very tender word, and I do understand it. But, you know, they say, especially, you know, in an open casket funeral, and I've heard people say, you know, man, doesn't he look good? I don't think so. I mean, they can do a lot. Do you understand? But I mean, they know how to do all that. Whatever they do, okay. But there's not anybody there. Do you understand? And when the spirit is gone, I'm telling you, it's over with, loved one. I don't care how good you look. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter. So faith that does not produce works, what is he saying? It's just a corpse. It's dead man walking. You've heard of The Night of the Living Dead? Y'all seen that movie? I will never watch anything like that. I have to sleep with my wife and my little doll when I see those scary movies like that. They're called zombies or something, right? No. Now see, what is he saying? Why is he closing like this? He's saying here, listen, James says, you know, he's writing to those guys, he's writing to us, says, you know, some of you are claiming to be Christians and you really look good. I mean, they painted, you've got it, you look good, you say the right things, and you carry you got the Christian ease. Man, you've got it down. You have knowledge, but you don't really have any faith. It's just all talk. True faith produces Christ-likeness, or it's not true faith. Faith and action are never separated. Listen, demons believe and tremble at God's word. If I tell you what, I thank God that I'm saved, because I tremble at the thought that one time I was lost. And you know what? I denied the Lord. People tried to lead me to the, get away from me, man. I don't need a crutch, you know. Everything in the world was my crutch, but I don't need a crutch. I heard a pastor say, no, you need a stretcher. You know what I mean? No. I mean, and the thought of those times that I said I was so twisted in my thinking. I'm my own man. I'm strong. You know what I mean. I don't need anybody. I thank God that I was saved. I tremble at the thought that I had not asked Christ to be my Savior. I tremble at that. And if you're here listening live, you're here in this chapel, and you have the talk, but you don't have the walk. I tremble because demons do. They tremble because they know that the Word of God is true. You say, well, I believe in God. A lot of people say that. I believe in one God. James said, hey, you're doing pretty good. Okay. He said, but even the demons do that, but they tremble. Millions of people, as you just heard me said a moment ago, millions of people around the world, they believe in one God. But Jesus put it this way in John 3:3, you must be born again. You have to be born again. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can make it to heaven. No one can go there. No one can come to the Father except through by me. Amen? There's the only way. So, loved one, listen, maybe you're here and Jesus is not your Lord. Or maybe you pretend to be Christ-like. You pretend to be a Christian, but you don't do it. You just have the talk. You can change that today. You can have real faith right now. Not dead faith. Not intellectual faith or demonic faith, but real faith that reaches out and says, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to be my Savior. And I want to not just have the talk, I want to have the walk.
Pastor's study from the Epistle of James continues on tomorrow's program, and we encourage you to tune in once again. We appreciate you listening with us today. And until our next broadcast, May the Lord bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.